practice what I preach perfectly. I wish you would practice what I preach. We're in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And right away you see, if you have an NIV Bible, the heading of the paragraph is love. And we'll be talking about that this morning, and that's why I say I have a lot to learn. I've lived a long time. Some of you say I'm a kid. I've lived a long time. And we count each year as a blessing, but there's something that keeps cropping up, and it says, you haven't arrived yet. And we have a lot to learn. We have room to grow. And so I was thinking about this topic, and I had a question for me, and I would ask you, what would happen in our homes and community if Christians spoke with love when arguments ignite passions? Something sets us off. People have strong feelings and opinions that they hold dear. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger or strife. Through the Apostle Paul, God instructs us to be people that accurately represent him. So let's read, if you have your Bibles open, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 down through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask for your blessing. We ask that you would teach us. We would ask that you would comfort us, that you might inspire our actions, and in that way bless us, that it's not from us, but from you. Lead us in your word now, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to follow this pretty closely. I looked at the clock, and a few weeks ago, this was when I looked at the clock, I was about done with my sermon. And we got out early. Now I look at the clock, and I'm starting my sermon. We're not getting out early. And so, not this time. So we're going to follow the notes pretty closely, I think. I won't stray away from them too far. So if you have those from your bulletin and would like to follow along, you're welcome to do that. We learned from the Bible that Jesus loves us. We grew up singing, many of us did. Not everybody, but some of us were in Sunday school, in children's church or wherever, maybe VBS, and we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the... What? Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us that God loves us. But as we grew up, there may have been times for you, and there may be adults today, that wonder, does God really love me? What about an illness? Why would a God of love allow me to fall ill? Well, it puts a lot of questions in our minds when we're sick or we have accidents. Talking with a person a few days ago that was in a severe accident, and the doctors told him, you will never be the same again. Wow, a life changer. God really loved me if he allows those things to happen. Sometimes there are things that are put in jeopardy. Jobs. A business is closing. Relationships. We're having a tough time. Recreation. I love to do this. This is who I really am. Can't do that anymore. There's bewilderment. God loves me. Jesus loves me? Really? How do we know that God loves us when we live in a a world that is corrupted. We live in the midst of corruption. Well, the greatest answer comes through Jesus. And if Jesus didn't save us from our sin, we would have reason to doubt his love. But the love of God extends past our immediate circumstances. We don't know the love of God by what's necessarily happening right now. That's not the indication of God's love. Because there are things going on that we might question. We would respond to the Lord with some doubt. So God's love isn't just a statement. It's an action. It's not that God just says, I love you. I'm sure when our kids were growing up, and I'd put my arm around their shoulders, they were little then, I'd put my arms around their shoulders and say, I love you, and then I'd walk off. And throughout the day, well, maybe they're comforted, but maybe they're wondering, well, why'd you walk off? Was that just words? How do I know you meant it? Well, how do we know when God says, I love you, but some things happen in our lives? How do we know he meant it? How do we know he's faithful? Well, with God, it's an action. Love is an action. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm going to go through some scriptures, and I didn't write them on the board very much. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love when we were resistant and rebellious. He didn't wait for us to change. He died for us while we were still sinners in that rebellious state. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Okay, he said that. He loved us. But what did he do? It was action. And sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not just words. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us while we were in sin, while we were in rebellion, while we were resenting any intrusion that he would make into our lives. If God hadn't sent Jesus, we wouldn't know faithful and sacrificial love. God showed his love by interrupting our ignorant pursuit of destruction. That's what sin is. Our ignorant, we don't know any better, pursuit of destruction. Destruction, Jesus said, is the end of walking on the Broadway, of walking along the same path, doing the same things that everyone else is doing. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7. But Jesus interrupted this pursuit of destruction in John chapter 3 and verse 16. How does that start? For God... Okay, he loved. That was an action word. It wasn't a feeling word. It was an action word. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. End up in that destruction. God interrupts that with bringing Jesus to us, that you will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. I was thinking about this yesterday, and an incident happened in Idaho in 1976. And on the Teton River, an earthen dam was built. It was more than 400 feet high and built with engineers and geologists and a lot of people involved in this. And they built this dam. And then everything else was shut down so this dam would hold the water back. And the Teton River came running down and running down and running down. And it was getting fuller and more full and full. And then it started to seep. And the guy on the Caterpillar tried to get that seepage stopped. He had to get out of there. Because it wasn't long before that whole thing blew out. And the article that I read said it was over 1 million gallons a second of water pouring through that dam. It carried damage into Rexburg, Idaho, and Sugar City, Idaho, and there was a Wilton, Idaho, another town, and the damage was caused by logs, trees, and all sorts of debris, and cars, and cows, it said. And 11 people lost their lives. They were in harm's way. I suppose if word got to you that you were downstream from Teton Dam, hey, it's starting to seep, what would you do? Board up the windows, right? You would leave? Get out of there to high ground as soon as you can? Yes. You don't want to be in harm's way. And here God is saying, you all are in harm's way, but I have provided an escape. Get out of there. I gave my only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, not be swept away, but have eternal life. Just believe on him. Trust him to take care of the punishment that's coming, that destruction. Jesus pointed out, when we think of God loving us, Jesus pointed out that the body is to follow the head. The body is those who follow Jesus. We are to follow the head. And what does the head say to the body? In John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. How? How? You're not very loud this morning. As I have loved you, so you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. As Jesus loved, we are to love. So Christians are given a command. But it's not a command just to feel. We don't say, hey, I have a loving feeling toward you. That's not what we're saying. We say, I love you in action. It's an action word. Like God's love is an action. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. As Christians so love the world, what do? There is some kind of action that God places on us. And he says here in Romans, now, we finally get to our Bible text. Love must be sincere. Love must be without hypocrisy. Love must be the real thing. You can count on it. It's consistent. And it's possible because we have the love of Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And what is the fruit? What does the Holy Spirit bring out in our lives? What's the first one? Guess. What are we talking about? Love. Okay. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and faith. First one is love. We have the love of Christ within us, so that the Bible tells us that this isn't just something imaginary, because we actually experience the love of Christ when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, or verse 14, the Bible tells us that the love of Christ compels us, it constrains us, it moves us along, and the love of Christ is in us to accomplish His work. Well, how is Christian love demonstrated? Verse 10 in our text this morning. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. First one is to be devoted. I think we've read about instances where we see this in action. Not so much in the United States yet. But I think it's possible, highly possible, that we may run into times that others have faced. When a communist government takes pastors and Christian leaders to prison, interrogates them, and says, I want you to fill out this piece of paper and give me every name of the people in your church. They come back a little while later, the paper is blank. And the interrogator says, I have the authority to make life very, very hard for you. I have authority to take your life. Fill out the paper. Be devoted to one another in love. And the persecutors would have you give away those who are still going to be living to pass on the gospel. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This goes along with another one. Honor one another. That we would be very happy to see others succeed. So if the Lord sees fit to remove one person or a few leaders in a church, and the rest of the body says, like a Vietnamese, I don't think it was Vietnamese, but anyhow, a church leader because it was Muslims, Islamists, that came into a church and were going to mow down the church, and they threatened them. If they turned away from Christ, if they would, now I can't remember the Shafala, is that the little saying, and you become a Muslim? If you'll say that, then you'll be safe. But everyone started crying. But the pastor shouted out, congregation, people, we are going to see Jesus today. And they started praising the Lord and singing instead of being frightened. And the Islamists walked out. Hey, we don't want to give them a boost to heaven. Being devoted to one another may cost us our lives. Are we willing to love to that extent? Love in honor that we give to others, that we give to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're happy to see them excel and have success. Keep your spiritual fervor, the Bible says. Well, last week we went over some of the spiritual gifts and we just touched on them. But you know that God has given gifts to be exercised and to build up the body of Christ. To exercise them for God's glory and to edify or build up the body. We are to follow in Jesus' steps. How? Never lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. And then the practical love. share with God's people who are in need. Invite somebody to the potluck. Let someone else cook for them. No, that's really not the motivation. Always be ready to meet needs. Well, that's all comfortable. How we can do that, man. Yeah, that's all right. But Jesus throws another door open. And he didn't want to keep us, or for us to keep our love in a holy huddle. What else did he say about love? You might be ahead of me now. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Huh. Sometimes we want to express our love, and it's done in an unusual way. And there was a lady from church that, not this church, that pulled up to a stoplight, and a car pulled up behind her, and a car behind them, and a car behind them. And this person behind them started honking their horn. And she's gone. And still they honked. So she stepped out of her car and said, it's red! Well, they stopped honking. And she pulled into the store where she was going, and she got out of her car, and as she was walking away, she looked back at it. Oh, yeah, on her bumper, there's a big sticker, honk if you love Jesus. And, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be showing love. Well, Jesus doesn't want us to live in a holy huddle. Let the love show. To set love free, to smash the false notions of those who deny who Jesus is. The false notion. Smash the false notions of who Jesus Christ is. Who is he? We're in the Easter season, aren't we? He is risen with power. He's the one who indwells us by his Spirit and who has given us the love to share. And he doesn't command something without providing the resources to do it. Matthew 5:43 is the verse that says, love your enemies. He doesn't say, go make enemies. He says, you love them. Following Jesus and empowered by him, think for a moment. How do we know that Jesus loved his enemies? And he can tell us, love your enemies, because he loved his enemies. How do we know he loved his enemies? He was on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, there was another person who picked up on that. His name was Stephen. And Stephen had an opportunity to preach to the religious leaders and to the people in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he told the people the history of what God had done for the Jews, and then he pointed them to Christ, and he said, stop refusing, resisting the Holy Spirit. They took him out and they stoned him. But before he died, there were a few things that he said. And among his words that he told to these people throwing, you know, they don't just throw little baseball-sized rocks when they stone somebody. Saw pictures from the Middle East when they were picking up rocks to stone somebody. I hate to say it, but particularly women get the stonings in the Middle East. But they picked up stones. They are bigger than softballs. And they're going to be hurling these things. Stephen was there, being stoned. These are his words from the Bible. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. How did he say that? The same Lord that was on the cross said, Father, forgive them. Stephen had that same spirit. the Holy Spirit in him and could say, don't hold this to their account. Somehow save them. Think about who was there. Church leaders, people from the city, this man called Saul of Tarsus, holding the coats and saying, get up, you know, just go for it. There's a big rock, throw that. And what did the church do about Saul of Tarsus? What do you think? Love your enemies. What do you think they did? Did they pray for him? Did they pray for this violent persecutor? Maybe with some hesitancy. We don't always pray wholeheartedly, do we? Sometimes we pray, Lord, if it's in your will, and, you know, if I had my will, but would you happen to get on the inside of this guy? And what happened? He was dramatically saved. The church grew through his ministry. Love your enemies and don't limit God. God can do things far better than we can, far more than we can. Reach people we think are unreachable. Set love free. Love with abandon. And see what God does. God loves every child, every young person, every adult. He awaits a response. Will you receive the gift of his son, Jesus, who took your punishment and death for your sin, who arose from the grave to redeem you completely? Today you can confess your sin and be cleansed and fully accepted by God. His act of love was to give you the gift. Your act of love is to receive it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're not receiving a tangible gift. We receive your Son, accepting his work done on the cross for us, that we were included long time later in Jesus' words, forgive them. Thank you that your Spirit prompts us to respond to the truth of your word. Your Spirit empowers us to share the words of the gospel that Christ died for sinners. Demonstrating God's love. Father, I pray that you'd use us as a church, as individuals, among people we know, acquaintances, families. Use us for your glory. And we don't want to put any limitation on that. So take us as we are and make us more than what we could expect to be. In Jesus' name.